Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, David Von Strawn and Leslie M. Scott Jones. Now, here's David and Leslie.
Hello!
It is Sunday! It is July! It is 10 o'clock!
Very loud!
And this is Homegrown! Your show about local art.
Did you like need to do that to wake yourself up, or you just wanted to like blast everybody else out of the
room? I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. The Devious One, bringing you the excitement. Highly caffeinated, never duplicated, and with me always, always is the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious, not as loud.
Well, I can
Leslie
be.
M. Scott Jones.
Well, I can be. Thank you, David. I can be as loud as you. Depends on the situation.
It really is the caffeine.
It's situational.
Shout out to BK for the triple shot latte. I don't know what's going on.
You got a triple shot latte?
I don't know what I got. I just got a regular large coffee, but it feels like my heart is jumping.
Okay.
He's beating home.
Wow. Wow. That is okay.
So this is what happens.
I just had tea this morning. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep up with you.
Yeah.
I'm drinking water over here.
No, we brought out the Aquafina for our
guests.
Wonderful guests because we're
bougie. We bougie.
We bad and bougie.
Yeah, we bougie up
like
in here.
No. Would you like some Aquafina?
Right? Not water. We may need to change our accent. I'm sorry. Would you like some Aquafina?
They get it straight.
It really is.
Tap,
it really
like
is.
Right?
Yeah. Aquafina is kind of trash if you really want to like go into specifics. Just get yourself a Brita.
Oh, my God.
Coca-Cola or Coca-Cola?
No, Dasani's Coke, Aquafina's Pepsi, and they're both swole.
Okay, well, and on that lovely note...
How are you, Leslie? How was your week?
My week was super busy, but I got to see an awesome movie with an awesome person on Friday night. And, had a nice dinner and saw a very cool movie. And
yeah. The Hero, right?
Yes.
Indie film?
Oh, my
God. Don't you love that?
It's
when you go into
a
movie and you're like, oh, let me roll the dice. Let me give it a shot. And then it's like the best freaking movie that you've seen in like the past like 5 years.
It was so good.
I'm so happy I rolled the dice and I took that risk.
It was so good. I mean, and I love Sam Elliott. Like, he's like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Always.
I was actually, because I'm weird sometimes when I see good movies, I'll like save the ticket stub and I'll like put it on my wall.
Oh, yeah,
so I was looking at like a movie that I saw in 07 and the tickets were like $8.
Right.
And it's like,
no more.
And now it's like double that. So I'm like, I'm not going to risk that much money on the whim that I might enjoy it. So I'm always waiting on Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm always waiting on that pay-per-view so I can drop just like $5 on it. So I never really go to the theater anymore.
I absolutely loved this movie. It's only going to be in Charlottesville. It's called The Hero. It's Sam Elliott, Laura Prepon, Kristen Ritter.
The dude.
It's really, really good.
Sam Elliott's the guy with the mustache.
yes. That
I
tall.
Sam Elliott's mustache gets more work than Sam Elliott.
Like, that tall.
I think he has a bigger endorsement deal.
It emotes more than he does.
Well, it really does.
All right, but before I get to the guests, I have a tie-in because I know you're itching. Look, you said banter. You said banter, Mr. Producer. All right. Anyway, I need to drop something. Special announcement on Homegrown. I am hosting a show, Art for the People, a Catharsis for Charlottesville. It's about any residents that want to share any poetry, any music. Leslie, you're going to be there. You're going to be doing some poetry.
I'm doing
some poetry. I got Keese, Charlottesville resident, doing some hip hop, coming in the house. He's headlining the show. I got Black Liquid from Richmond coming in.
Awesome.
Fellow Man's going to be doing some work as well.
Yay!
Remy's going to be on the boards. Like, yo, it's going to be lit. $10. All the proceeds benefit Mama's Black Mama's Bailout and Lending Hands. It's going to be at the Ante Room Thursday night, 8 o'clock. Bring your dancing shoes. It's going to be lit.
So that's all
I want to say. Thank you, Clinton, for giving me that time. With that, we segue
beautifully
over
into our first guest.
Yes. Mr. Douglas Turner Day, who is also a doctor. Dr. Douglas Turner Day.
You put that doctor on it now. He worked hard for that.
I'm put some respect on that.
I have a PhD in folklore, so I can cure warts and stuff. But, you know, don't ask me to...
Well, I've been walking around a lot, so I'm going to have to see you after this show.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I got this thing.
Don't look at his feet.
All I can do is you know, put it in a paper bag.
It's just itchy. It's not really a thing right now.
Okay, ew.
Oh, but... ew. I thought this was what we were coming to talk about.
No.
All right.
Mr. Doctor.
Doctor.
Douglas. Just call me Douglas.
Day.
Yes.
Douglas, you are... So let's talk about Douglas for a minute.
Okay.
We know you to be an avid activist.
And a musician.
So let's go from there.
Okay.
And
well, I'm from Charlottesville. I'm from Virginia. My ancestors go back in Virginia to, I don't know, 8 generations ago. So I didn't know all that until fairly recently, but do our homework. I found out that my great-great-granddaddy wasn't in the Confederacy like I'd been brought up to believe. He was actually in the Union. But it was a deep, dark family secret.
Oh, wow.
You know,
interesting.
He fought for the Yankees. Oh, man.
You can chill in our company.
Yes.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
you
that.
You can come back anytime, man. That's awesome.
Redeem the whole family there now, you know. It turns out the whole other side of the family are all Yankees. But at any rate, my great-great-granddaddy went to UVA back before the Civil War in order to learn how to saw off arms and legs and stuff.
Wow.
6 months is what it took to be a surgeon in those days.
Wow.
That's
by medical
scary.
School. Mm. Yeah. This was like pre-germ theory stuff.
Right.
And my dad was also on the he was on the faculty here. And I grew up a townie and a faculty brat. And this is like towards the end of the Civil Rights Movement. I remember Martin Luther King being shot real vividly. But before that, my parents and several others in the university community were active in the Civil Rights Movement. So, I grew up knowing about that kind of stuff, but didn't really experience it until I came of age and realized that things are not what they should be in Charlottesville and Albemarle County.
Tell me that.
And why is that? How did we get to this place?
So, there's so many reasons.
Oh, yeah, I know. So I spent the rest of my life studying the history of it, pretty much, the history of race relations in particular.
So how did music come into it?
Well, I've always been a musician since I was 12 or so and realized that my brain was just kind of warped that way, you know. But
I get that.
Do I need to come a little closer?
Yeah.
I was always into, you know, the protest singers, the folk singers, back when I was a little kid, because it's what my parents listened to. Bob Dylan and Joan Baez and those guys.
Yeah.
And people who preceded them, like Dave Van Ronk and
We just
Woody
were talking
Guthrie
about Woody Guthrie
guys.
Last Woody week. Guthrie. Woody Guthrie's American Song.
Yeah,
that's. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Actually, that looks real interesting.
Yeah.
Woody did what people are starting to do again here in Charlottesville. At any rate, you know, I've been put out a call. The reason why I'm here is because I started a Facebook page. A month ago, maybe, called Musicians Mobilized Against the Klan. When we heard the Klan was coming, I just felt the need to do something.
I was going to say, so talk about that. You hear that the Klan is coming July 8th.
Yeah.
You decide that you are going to do something.
Something. I knew I had to be there somehow.
Right. So talk about that. Talk about the whole process of how you came upon this form of direct action or as a counter reaction to their visit, and specifically why music and why this certain structure, because people can go with signs, people can go with whatever. You chose music, you chose mobilization. Like, talk about that structure.
And I'll be honest, because the big question that has been racing through so many of us is, got to do something.
Got to do something.
What do we do?
Right, exactly. Well, there are so many things that have sort of bubbled up, which is my favorite part of this whole thing, is that people are talking to each other. They've been having meetings, you know, profound, serious meetings and funny, silly meetings, meetings where people are gnashing their teeth and pulling out their hair, to meetings where people are singing and crying. And, you know, it's people are having a lot of emotions about this and thinking a lot of thoughts about it. And when it first came up, you know, it was right after that brouhaha with the alt-right and their torches in...
Oh, that was a Klan rally.
Yeah.
That was not a Klan rally. That was... We can call them all the Klan. They're all Nazis. They're all fascists, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But it was a different group of right-wing, ultra-right-wing
But the
fringe people. Yeah, lighting torches in Lee Park, which is now called Emancipation Park. And I think the fact that we were talking about removing the statue of Robert E. Lee, we here in Charlottesville, put us on the map, put us on the radar for this particular clavern. The loyal white knights of the Ku Klux Klan, they're coming up from North Carolina. And I've actually run into them before, about 30 years ago, 25 years ago. In North Carolina, I was doing field work, folklore field work, for the National Endowment for the Arts out in western North Carolina, North Georgia, eastern Tennessee. And this group came around, sent out flyers, and the whole community was up in arms about it. There was maybe one actual Klansman in the entire, in Cherokee County, and everybody knew who he was. You know, he's an idiot. You leave him alone. But that was enough of contact for these guys to announce they were going to have a rally. And on the day they showed up, there were fewer than 20 Klans people and easily 100 townspeople, people from Cherokee County and Murphy. And we're talking the ass end, pardon me, of North Carolina, way out in Mayberry country.
Yeah.
But the black churches, of which there were two, I think, in the whole county, and the majority of the white churches organized. They all came out. There was no violence. And the Klan just looked sheepish. You know, they didn't look threatening by the time they left. And I have a feeling that we're going to be underwhelmed by these guys again when they
show up. I was watching a small blurb on Viceland, and it's this journalist. I forget his name, but he has a an English accent, and he looks of Middle Eastern descent. I don't want to judge.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I've watched his stuff before. It's great.
He goes to a swastika lighting. And he's watching, they're filming the them trying to mount the swastika before they light it, and it's just like a cartoonish, like like they don't know what they're doing. They can't even get it to stand up. They look like
idiots. Be pathetic if it wasn't for the history. I mean, the Klan now is less than, you know, a tenth of 1% of what it was back in the 1920s when there were women's auxiliary. You know, of the Klan. The police of police chief was a Klan's member here in Charlottesville, I think I read recently. You know, it was that far removed from being like the Lions Club or the Kiwanis or the Elks. It was just another basically male fraternity, social fraternity that... and it came out because of the film, the movie Birth of a Nation, which romanticized the whole the Klan as it had existed back in the 1880s, and this was the period, well, the turn of the century from the 1880s to about 1915 or so. That was the high point or low point. There were more people lynched in those years than at any other time, and it's when the Jim Crow laws got harsher and harsher and more rigid. I don't think there's any question that the Klan appearing in Charlottesville in the 20s, the Lee statue going up, they were all of a piece, and it all had to do with white supremacy and white solidarity.
And I want to talk about that further because there's a lot of connections between the city of Charlottesville and UVA and the KKK that a lot of people aren't aware of.
Yes.
I want to talk about why Charlottesville and not all of these other places that have Confederate statues. Why is Charlottesville getting all the visits? Let's talk about that more. This is Dr. Douglas Turner Day here at Homegrown. This is Homegrown. Drop! It's 16 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, this is Homegrown. You're a local show about art on WPVC 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David Von Strawn, Leslie M. Scott Jones, Clinton on the boards, and we're talking with Dr. Douglas Turner Day, who is a musician and an activist who is mobilizing the musicians mobilized against the Klan on July 8th. So, we were just talking about the links between the Klan and Charlottesville.
Well, the historical. I think we should probably talk about the actual event here, too. I mean, the Klan now is less than 1% of what it was back in the 20s, but they're still around.
Relevant.
And they will try to tell you, we're not about hate, we're about loving white people. Or they say European culture, right?
Right, yeah. Okay.
Don't believe them for a minute. The Klan has always been, from its inception, anti-black, anti-Jew, anti-Catholic, and anti-labor, anti-organized labor. And in the South, they worked hand in glove with the textile mill. I'm just picking them out of any. The textile mill owners, for example, in quashing the union movement in the South.
Yeah.
They worked with. They were gun thugs in the mill towns. You know, those were the guys that you. They were the hit squads in the 60s, in the 50s and 60s. If somebody like Medgar Evers got in your way, the Klan is who you called. Yep. But they were. It's a very small group of people. You know, obviously, what they represent is hateful. The message that I've been hearing, kind of on the fringes of some of the places we've been meeting with the Clergy Coalition and some of the other the ICS folks, they're all organizing alternative rallies, alternative protests. But one thing I keep hearing occasionally is how, particularly from the Christian folks, we have to forgive our enemies. We have to love our enemies. And that's really damn difficult to do.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to diminish the fact of that the Klan is not what it was. But it also in the 20s, it wasn't what it was in its inception in the 1880s. And then after Birth of a Nation, there was this resurgence of the Klan, especially during after Jim Crow and during when black folks started to want their rights. You know, black businesses started to grow. And then the Klan was like, okay, we got to stop this. So there was this resurgence of the Klan between the 1920s and the 1950s.
And there has just been a resurgence of the Klan after Donald Trump's election.
Yeah. After Birth of a Nation now, which was a Donald Trump campaign, basically. Yeah. That happened for 18 months, which I could argue with something else. So I'm saying that there is another awakening coming along. And if it's not in the form of the Klan, it's in the form of
what they're calling alt-right.
I think what happened is that the Trump campaign, and it really started with Gingrich. We're going back to the 90s.
You can argue with that.
Yeah.
And the Karl whole Rove this, and that whole, like, yeah.
Right. The so-called Southern strategy. I don't know what kind of language I can use here, but
they're listening.
I won't use the most offensive ones I can think of, but the threat of blacks having equality was enough to rally them to their cause. You know, it was enough to put the fear into a lot of people.
Yeah.
These guys who are going to show up... at this point, the rally is going to be less about the Klan and more about us and our reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next thing that's happening on the 12th in August with the alt-right group, that's a whole lot of different people all coming together.
I agree.
It's a very fractious movement.
Mm-hmm.
They're splintered in lots of different ways, and it wouldn't take much to have them just disintegrate.
But, or not show up.
Or not show up.
Yeah.
But they also are much more tech-savvy.
Yeah.
Most of the guys I see who are calling themselves Proud Boys look to me like the guys who live in their mama's basement or on the internet all the time. You know? It's very easy to spout off and be a racist from your mama's basement.
Yeah.
It's not so easy to go out in public
to stand up. Yeah.
So these guys are coming out. I don't know that if they know what to expect. I don't think they do. Some of the leaders are that cynical and that nihilistic that they want to see violence. Mm-hmm. The Klan, they say they don't want to instill violence. We remember what happened.
They
went back in Greensboro.
With open carry and...
Well, you know what they're, you know. If you see the Klansmen going back to their cars,
yeah,
that's when you duck, because you know they're all carrying in their trunks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what happened in Greensboro. I don't remember how many years ago that was, but there was a Klan rally while there was a union action going on, and there were people shot, and it took years of reconciliation meetings and talks about race. To sort of heal those wounds from Greensboro. But we seem to be doing all that talking in advance here, which is great. I love it. There's going to be a whole day of music down at the Ix Park that is specifically being programmed as a counter rally for the Klan. There's stuff going on at the pavilion, different kinds of music.
And your stuff is you guys are...
I do not have a sanctioned event.
Right.
I don't have a permit or anything like that.
Y'all just showing up.
Talk about the actual structure and what you plan on doing. Are you just down there like New Orleans style and just like...
This was my thinking. Just a closer walk with you. Do the second line, the whole works with the umbrellas and all like that. So we may end up doing that at some point, but... The rally itself is only 1 hour long, and now we have a cast of characters that are all waiting to have their voices heard, and whether we'll all be able to squeeze them all in. Hopefully we'll have enough energy left so that on the 12th, when this other rally happens, which may be bigger and more serious, that we'll have our act together. But First United Methodist, which is kind of catty-corner to Lee Park,
Emancipation Park.
Thank you. Emancipate Lee Park. They're opening their doors as a safe place, a sanctuary.
Yep.
Musicians and dancers will be meeting there. There's apparently some folks from the synagogue are planning.
And it's all, if you just want to sit in there and meditate, do your thing, like they're offering that.
If you're freaked out, triggered, it's a good place to go. There's a reverend, newly ordained, he announced the other day, what's his name, Seth, and I didn't catch his last name, but he's very into the idea of doing, using the arts to confront racism in this case.
Right.
What we're trying to do is not make noise to drown out the Klan, but to actually sing. It's more about uniting us than it is... And our message is not one of hate against hate.
Right.
Can't be. You know, we have to be about peace and love.
And protection.
And protection. One woman stood up at the first meeting at Mount Zion and said that she'd heard from a black activist in another city that in a similar situation that she thought that it was up to the older white people to stand as a barrier between the Klan and, in this case, she was saying, the young black men in the community.
Yeah.
Right. My friends who I've communicated with who've been talking about open carry, you know, about showing up. I mean, in the heat of it when it was first announced, people were just want to go up there and punch those guys.
But most
those guys I've talked to are now saying, I won't be there.
Right.
You know? I'll be somewhere else because I don't know that I can handle it. It's up to those of us of goodwill who have the wherewithal to do it to go down there and be a peaceful presence in the face of what they're trying to accomplish.
And I would invite all these other groups while they do their counter reactions away from what's happening to not just ignore what's happening, but actually talk about racism in general, in the city in particular, and how we've enabled the city to come to this point. We've allowed these people to just walk freely and feel like they can do whatever. I think we need to realize the problems that
the problems that made it aware. Yeah.
While we choose to ignore the Klan and like step away.
Well, that's right. Exactly. That was my first impulse, as everybody else's. Let's just not go downtown that day. Let's just ignore them, and they'll find they don't have an audience, and they'll go away. But, you know, I can't do that. I can't ignore them. And I know that the clergy coalition, who are not the entire clergy in Charlottesville out of 350 clergy, we're talking about maybe 35,
yeah.
But they are the ones who are most concerned and most active.
Yeah.
And they are going to be there in, as one of them said, in full drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
With, all right. With their clergy, their clerical robes and everything on.
Good.
I'm going to be there with my guitar and my cowboy hat, and I've got a lot of friends who are coming down with ukuleles and an accordion and banjos.
Are you the same guys with the kazoo party?
I have somebody sent me a box. I have a box of like 200 kazoos.
That's awesome.
And another box of 100 clown noses. We'll figure out something to do with them all.
We're going
to
figure it out. Dr. Douglas Turner Day, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm going to be there. He's going to be there.
If you've got a portable musical instrument,
bring it.
Bring it. We're going to be singing
wooden block
campfire songs, old spirituals. Yeah. You know,
two spoons, fun. And a ham bone. Do you?
She'll be coming around on top of spaghetti. You know, whatever comes to mind. But we're going to make it musical, and it's going to be
awesome.
Fun and
I lost my
a happy
braces.
Event.
Thank you.
Thanks. This is what we need. This is what we need. That's what Woody Guthrie does. He takes the old songs and puts new words to them.
There you go.
And we need some people to be doing that.
Oh, David will
week.
Do it. David yeah. will do it.
All right.
Thank you
good.
So much for
thank
coming
you so
on.
Much.
Thank you for
this
having
awesome.
Me.
Yeah. What are we doing? You're doing dropper commercials.
What's coming up?
What's happening this week?
Oh, my God.
Just some of the artistic events that are happening this week.
Can I get a plug in?
Yeah, you can get a plug in.
Okay, my plug is I play every Thursday night at my brother's restaurant over in downtown Belmont, Southern Crescent. It's a New Orleans-style oyster bar, basically.
Southern
Crescent. Got po'boys and muffalettas and good New Orleans beers and
ooh,
stuff like that.
Get your po' boy and your full-bodied music.
Yeah, every Thursday, come by and see me there. But
Dr. Doug awesome. Spinning that mix.
Yep. So the calendar is. I got
problem.
It. Now.
Thank you. All right. And now through August 27th, the Mysteries That Remain, the first museum survey of the work of acclaimed Australian Indigenous artists. Jesus, Mick Namarami, Shabuljari at the Kluge-Roo Aboriginal Art Collection. And now through November 26th is the American Shakespeare Center summer and fall season featuring Much Ado About Nothing, Love's Labor's Lost, Henry VI, Part 3 by Shakespeare and the Modern Musical, Peter and the Starcatcher, all at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. Now through July 8th, UVA's Heritage Theater Festival's Woody Guthrie's American Song at the Culber Theater. Today, coffee hour with photographer Bob Meyer at Buck Mountain Episcopal Church in Earliesville at 11:30. Today is also a drag brunch at Fellini's at noon. Photographer Bill Record is going to be opening his new Batesville Market art show at Batesville Market at 1 o'clock today from 1 o'clock to 4. On the 4th, Independence Day, Floyd, Virginia's Wendy Wren shows her functional porcelain pottery at City Clay. And July 5th, Fun for the Young with Glynis Welty at UVA's Fralin Museum of Art. Arts-related story times led by Gordon Avenue's children's librarian, Glynis Welty, while museum docents encourage kids to engage with museum exhibitions. Also July 5th, Eyes on Art Tour engages people with Alzheimer's disease and meaningful discussions about art at UVA's Fralin Art Museum. July 6th to the 15th is UVA Heritage Theater Festival's presents Chapati by Christian O'Reilly, a pair of late-in-life neighbors looking for new homes for their respective four-legged friends, rediscovered in each other the power of human connection at UVA Helms Theater. July 8th, UVA's Fralin Arts Museum docent and former guest, June Heinz, guides you through 45 minutes of meditative exploration of Fralin art pieces through a looking inward meditative glass. And also July 6th will be Art for the People, Catharsis for Charlottesville at the Ante Room. And for your music options this week,
oh my God.
Don't put Leslie in the corner.
Nobody.
They love to put me in a corner. I don't know what's going on. Today, Willie D.E. at 3:30 p.m. at Glass House Winery. Tonight, it's Front Porch Music Roots Music School's first singer-songwriter open mic. Tonight, Rolling Stones cover band Cherry Red plays Dirty Nellies. July 4th, East of Afton plays Bluegrass at Keswick Vineyards, Reds, Whites, and Bluegrass. Oh, that's a cute little play on that. See what they did there? I like that. Travis Elliott at Fellini's. July 5th, open mic at Holly's Deli and Pub. Where is that? Holly's Deli and Pub?
It's near 5-4.
Okay, all right. I know where you're. Okay, I got you now. Bachata Fusion with the Charlottesville Salsa Club at the Anteroom. I so want to do that. July 6th, Blue Sunburst with Bill Adams at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. July 7th, Jimmy O'Dea's Rockabilly Jazz and Swing at Heritage on Main. Bob Bonetta and the Chickenhead Blues Band at Fellini's. Faster Than Walking at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Renee Ruth Duo at Wild Wolf Brewery. July 8th, Anlar and Dad Bob at Tin Whistle Irish Pub. The Seaville Motherland Connection hosts music DJ Paul for the premiere Afro Beats Praise at the Anteroom. Ooh, that sounds neat. We need to go today on the 8th. Can we do that? Yeah? Also July 8th, David Tewksbury Band at Batesville Market. Shout out, David. What's up? You need to come back on the show, dude. Seriously. And Eli Cook. Shout out to Eli. You need to come back on the show, dude. At Rapunzel's Coffee and Books. Midnight Snack at with Matt Curie and the ex-friends at the Anteroom. Eric Franzen and then Ian Gilliam. Gilliam? Yes, Gilliam. And the Fire Kings at Fellini's. All right, every Monday, Seafoot. Weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Every Tuesday, traditional session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, open mic night at Renata Farm Brewery. Every Wednesday, Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9. Every Wednesday, the Mike Rosinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. And every Thursday, John's Earth at Miller's. Oh my God, that's a lot of stuff going on.
That's a lot of stuff. That's what's happening yes. in your community this week.
So stay tuned for these.
Hi, this is Miriam Gordon-Stewart from Victory Hall Opera. You're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art on 94.7 WPVC.
Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Sean McCord, and their guest, Kara McClurkin, talking about spinal muscular atrophy. Alrighty.
All right.
Alrighty. David's singing now.
Aww. You know, I've never felt this way before. Yes, I swear. It's the truth.
Yeah.
And I'll wait all the time. Okay.
David was serenading me there for
a
second.
There was a
pause.
Well, there was a Nobody Puts Baby in the Corner. And then, by law, you must sing I've Had the Time of My Life.
So we're going to do the lift later. We're going to do the lift later in the parking lot.
Yeah, totally.
So after the show, if you want to see us do the lift.
I'm going to have my man Lens over here. Do the
lift. Sure, no problem.
So you're... Wait.
Deep, not
wait,
a
wait,
pond,
wait.
But like a deep
wait.
Puddle outside
wait.
That you can stand in?
Wait. I just want to be clear. That means that you are conceding that he's stronger than you.
I didn't say that. I just said...
But kind of you did, though.
I just said... I just didn't want to do any lifting. Man, I was trying to delegate the task over to my man.
Fine. Oh, okay. I understand. Well, maybe we should get to the interview since now we've promised him to do work now.
I know, right? It's like, damn, I didn't know.
He didn't know he was coming into that.
There's no contract.
There should be a contract. So our guests are Len, so why don't you introduce yourself?
ATL in the house,
right?
This is Andy Davis.
What's up, guys? My name is Lenz Prague. I'm a Charlottesville native, and it feels good to be home. So I'm honored to be your guys' guests. And you have to excuse me because I had a really long distance of travel, and like my aww. Voice doesn't usually sound.
Are you
this
just
deep.
Coming out of the car from like however long you've been driving? Where are you coming?
No,
from?
I'm coming from Atlanta.
Like just now?
No, probably about Well, let's see. It's three. Okay, so about this. Okay, this morning.
Oh, babe.
I got here and I was groggy, and I went and got some.
You know, there's no time difference between here and Atlanta.
Yeah,
it's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same.
But the way
it don't matter when you don't get no sleep. Yeah, it's a long drive.
But see, I'm a night hawk, so I'm always up. And through the wee hours of the night, so you know it doesn't really matter.
I resemble that emotion.
You know, but I mean, long story short, I'm just glad to be home. You know, my hometown, Charlottesville, Virginia. I grew up here. You know, and it just feels good to be back.
So, get some home cooking.
Yeah.
Well, wait until you find out what you've missed.
I mean. There are things that are hit and miss now.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of things going on. Like,
yeah.
Like, I just drove in and I was like, okay, so there's this weird, like, I don't know, like,
circular
thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, back in the day, who's been here for a long time is going to say back in the day or whatever, but that wasn't there.
No. Nope.
So, I mean, you know, I know, like, performance bikes and stuff was there, but I'm just, like, driving. I'm like, okay. Yeah. There's that.
Yeah. And also, there's a Klan rally next Saturday, so there's that too.
And there's that. Know. I mean, I'll be gone then. So,
oh, okay.
But I'm just. Thanks. I mean, that's.
It's good to be home for a little bit.
Long story short, it's great to be home, guys. All right. And
I feel you. Yeah. I feel you. So what you been doing?
Well, I've got a long list, you know.
So you've been DJing in Atlanta and other places, right?
Yep. I've been doing shows in Atlanta and in Houston. I just did a show in Miami.
You're talking about 1,000, 2,000 seat venues like at EDM, right?
Yeah, so yeah. I mean,
is it like Skrillex EDM? Is it like crazy? Like, does it sound like Transformers?
Oh my God.
Like,
yes, that's exactly what my sound is. It's a signature sound. I've been supported by a lot of DJs that are in the scene that are really big. They play my tunes out at big festivals like Ultra. Tomorrow World, Electric Daisy Carnival. They play them at all kind of.
Oh yeah, Electric Daisy Carnival. They're my dudes.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. They're a big deal.
Like, so old.
They're in Vegas.
So old. In music age. Like I'm in 30, so that makes me 85 in like music terms.
Oh. So that explains the gray hair.
So yeah, a little bit of gray.
Showing.
Actually, that one's named Leslie.
But it's right there. Right there. That one's mine. Yeah.
Actually, this is your whole patch. This is Leslie.
Right there.
This is you.
It's gonna grow.
This is all you. All right. So Lance, let's get back to you, brother.
Okay.
So talk about the inception and the beginning of where your music first started coming from. When did you first start hitting that EDM pad? When you first start putting your stuff onto digital? When was that day? Was it high school? Was it grade school?
Was
it out the womb? Like when did you start? Like,
well, it definitely wasn't.
I started out the womb.
Definitely wasn't out the womb. It was. I would have to say high school, about ninth grade.
Okay.
Ninth grade. I wanted to be a rapper.
Uh huh.
Not something that you unravel that's candy in, but you know, a rapper.
Said every
you know,
ninth grade.
Yeah, I wanted
every
you know,
ninth grade.
I was a huge fan of the Diplomats, Dipset, you know,
nice.
Jay-Z, those guys, the Clips, you know, of course. And then I started segueing into like production and stuff, and you know, I didn't really have anyone to produce my music, so I had to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
You know, and I pick up stuff a lot and very fast. So I picked it up, started producing my own beats, and of course they weren't great. And people were like, what the hell is this? They were like, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because now the game is moving from less MCs to now more producers.
Yeah.
DJ Khaled,
yeah.
Schoolboy Q.
Yeah.
Forty. That produces a lot of Drake stuff is getting a lot more popular. So it's more of the producers that are getting, you know, more of the recognition and a lot of the, you know, catching these days.
I was actually at an event and Metro Boomin was there and I met Mike Will.
Mike Will made it.
And those guys, you know, they're very cool.
Okay.
They're the two biggest
names in the game right now.
And
so they're
very spaced out, you know, but you know, they're like, you know, a lot of these guys that are doing this, they're like, hey man, the new wave is electronic music. And so like it's just like,
oh boy.
Yeah.
Hey, could you take a moment and speak to that idea of starting out and not being good, and giving yourself the space to have that, to have that time when you're not good and you're just developing.
Yeah, well, when you know, starting out trying to be a rapper and trying to produce great beats or production, the quality was never there. You know, I had to, I had a mic, a drum mic. I used to tape it to a broomstick, and I put a sock over it to try and make a, you know, a filter. Seriously, it was terrible. It wasn't great at all. I recorded in Cool Edit Pro. It was, you know, a learning experience, and I just started to grow and grow and grow, and people started to be like, okay, this dude is getting okay. He's getting okay, 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 okay. It's been a year. Oh, damn. Well, okay, it's been a year, and this dude is like just broke out. Mm-hmm. He just broke away from the pack. So, you know, I just... When I work on a new craft, or if it's something new that I'm trying to, you know, acquire, like a skill, I'll completely go black out. I won't talk to anyone. You know, I'll shut my phones off and just hone in on my skill, like I did with electronic music. You know, even with production and being a lyricist, not a rapper, but a lyricist. You know, it's just all of those things. You can't let your mind get skewed from the negativity and, you know, all of the things, especially this day and age. Like
I was about to say, isolationism and like the way that you kind of like shield yourself from everything else when you do your craft. Talk about that. Talk about that further.
Well, this day and age, you know, like it's really a mindset type of thing. It's a mind over matter thing. You know, if you don't really think that you can apply yourself to something, like in school, you know, if you don't think that you can apply yourself to something, you see an equation in front of you. I mean, there's always assistance out there, i.e. YouTube, you know, that you can go look for skills, and you can, that's the advantage that kids have today with technology. They have these iPads, iPhones, and everything that starts with an I.
Well, I mean, they have producers that are recording, like, major releases all on their phones now.
Yeah, they're making stuff off their iPads, and I'm just
making movies on that phone.
Yeah, right? I mean it's great technology. I mean, I love it. You know, it's time. I mean, if you're great at it, I mean, it's timeless. I mean, I can get on an iPad and make a beat.
What do you use now for your beats? Do you use Fruity Loops?
I use Pro Tools and Ableton. Those are my three go tos, and I produce on Mac. You know, and I use Windows and Bootcamp, you know, on Mac, because I just like Mac's layout. You know, some people are like, oh my God, MacBook. But yeah, that's that.
Okay. All right. So we're going to get back to that. We're going to play a song, Lens. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to more on this interview.
But first,
we're going to do a drop. This is Homegrown. Drop!
And it's past the hour. And if you're just tuning in, what's wrong with you? This is Homegrown, 94.7.
Hey, WPVC. We're back.
Progressive
we're back.
Voice of Charlottesville.
What is that? This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the Progressive Voice of Charlottesville.
So, Linz, talk about what just happened. Last night, you did a concert. Did you come home specifically to do this concert?
Where and when?
Well, it was a spur of the moment type of thing. And it's all thanks to my homie, Mitch Weiss. You know, we were actually playing video games, and we were talking through Facebook, video chat. And we were like, yo, wouldn't it be cool to, like, you know, do a hip hop show? And he'd be like, yeah, it'd be cool, but I mean, I don't know. I'd be like, let's try it. And so he was like, all right, let me call some people. So he called some people, and they were like, yeah, sure. Set it up. Is that T-Bizarre? Tea House, Twisted Branch, downtown. And, yeah, man.
So this is a project called Everybody Hates Lens, right?
Everybody Hates Lens.
So I'm guessing you riffing on Luda a little bit.
I mean, it's just, you know, the thing is, I named it that, you know, because
I thought that was a Chris Rock reference.
Yeah, I mean that, but I wasn't paying attention to that. You know, I just was thinking about what people have said in the past about me, what they said I couldn't do, and what I've done, and what I've accomplished, and what, you know, and just how people have just been like, oh, well, you're gonna move here, but this place is a money pit, and this, but you can't do that because such and such did this, but there's a possibility. You could do it good, but there's always a but. You know, and it's
but,
like, you know.
But don't you find that people that say that are normally the people that force you to do your art and do that thing that's
I mean, I love it. I mean, it feeds fuel to the fire.
Right.
Because when someone tells me I can't do something, I turn right around and do it.
And do it, right.
You know, and I do it 10 times harder than that. Because
right.
I want, I'm not only am I doing it, but I'm doing it and doing it to a degree where they're like, holy cow, like, I didn't even think you could do it to that caliber.
Right. Right.
And, you know, and I mean, you know, by all means, you know, if anyone wants to, you know, try it. And, you know, I've been in situations where I've been in studio sessions and people have challenged me. You know, like a month ago, I was with BBC Radio and they had a bunch of artists, you know, come in and, you know, they came from the UK. So they're all like, yeah. And, you know, Tim Westwood's people. And like, mm-hmm. you know, I've worked with Charlie Sloth, who's like the DJ Khaled of the UK.
Right.
And, you know, to be in a room with him is a big deal.
Yeah.
He over in the U.S., you know, he don't need security. Over in London,
he does.
His security
yeah.
base is ridiculous, mm-hmm. you know, so it was just crazy. And them just admiring my production, just saying, oh, wow.
Did that guy work with Skepta and all those cats
yeah.
on
yeah.
More Life too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, Charlie Sloth's like, he's a big name in the UK. You know, so shout out to Charlie Sloth and, you know, BBC Radio. And I mean, for them giving me the opportunity to be on that platform, you know, putting me on that platform catapulted me in a situation that was.
So how did you make those connections? I mean, was that through your manager, or is that just getting your music out and hearing it? Or
it's a matter of both, you know, because my manager does a lot of the footwork. You know, he's always, you know, pushing and, you know, getting into people's heads and being and so forth. And, you know, shout out to him. His name's Marley Mack. And, you know, he gets the work done. So.
Well, enough of the talking.
Yep.
Let's hear some music.
I want to hear this music that is fueled by spite
yes.
and anger. And I'm going to show you mofos what I can do.
Oh, my.
Play that joint. Play some Everybody Hates Lins.
Yep.
Play it right now.
This was never intentional. I just came here to get what I wanted. Nothing in this world is free. And we don't need nothing from them. Straight up. Cause you on top. We out here, man. Look.
Yeah.
A lot of rumors speaking on me. A lot of black, I got the Reaper on me. Bezel loaded, feel like that's a photo.
Yeah.
It's all there, don't gotta count it, homie.
Uh-huh.
Got a lot of love, got a lot of haters, got a bunch of people counting on me.
What?
Gotta show my mom that I'm her son.
Gotta
prove to her that I'm the one. Never faked it, and I haven't made it. See that Audi coupe, I went and got her one.
Did.
Do anything to see that woman smile. God knows I'm the only child.
I
need a milli here, I need a milli there. I'ma need that milli now.
I
see the ones who turn their back on me. Now I'm with just a lot of cash on me. A lot of rumors speaking on me.
What?
A lot of black, I got the Reaper on me. It's all there, don't gotta count it, homie.
Gotta count it, homie.
It's all there, don't gotta count it, homie.
Gotta count it, homie.
A lot of rumors speaking on me. A lot of black, I got the Reaper on me. Bezel loaded, feel like that's a photo. It's all there, don't gotta count it, homie. A lot of rumors speaking on me. A lot of black, I got the Reaper on me. Bezel loaded, feel like that's a photo. It's all there, don't gotta count
it. Damn! Yo, I'm ready to fight.
No, David.
I'm kidding.
Don't do that when I'm sitting next to you, okay?
I'm kidding.
Because, you know, you always hurt the one you love.
Good
with
acquaintance.
With a good acquaintance. Oh my goodness. Oh, okay.
They gotta be friends. They ain't gotta be friends.
So what's
next?
Yeah, what's coming
next?
Up next for you?
What's the next show?
Well, here's something special. I wasn't going to tell anyone this, but
woo-hoo!
Recently I just got on board with London on the Track, who is like one of the biggest names in you know, music.
No way.
As far as, you know, production, you know, T.I.
Yeah.
Young Thug, you know, Rich Gang, the whole shebang. That's ironic that rhymed, right?
Right.
I don't know why.
You're gonna use that too.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
But
long story short is, you know, he reached out to me, and a good friend reached out to me at the same time and blew my phones up. I was like, you know, okay, I don't know what I was doing. I think I was in a shower or something. My phone had like 10 missed calls and like 7 text messages, and they were like, call me ASAP. So, you know, I call back, and I'm like, yo, what's going on? And they're like, yo, London on Tracks, he's trying to do a show tonight, bro. I'm like, what? Like a DJ set? He's like, yeah, dude, he's trying to do a show tonight. So I'm like, okay, let me get my set list together. Are they using CDJs? Like, or what are they using? They're like, all right, let me call a club. They call a club. Y'all got CDJs? Cool. Boom. We go do, you know, sound check. And then we just go in there and wreck the whole set. Like, oh, it was ridiculous. So then he's like, you know what? Like, I think that we're going to do a tour. And I'm like, okay,
that's no cool. Way.
So you know, he's working on, you know, this is almost, you know, wrapped up, you know, with getting a tour. I think it's going to be either with Diplo and some other people.
What?
Or,
oh my
know,
God!
It's gonna be big. Yo. Like, I mean, it's not going to be slouch, like no gimmicky little, you know, this is like big money.
Right.
And so I'm talking like, you know, this is probably going to be a life changing experience for
oh
me.
Oh my God!
You know?
Sounds
so,
like it, bro.
That is
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I never. You
so
know.
Are we seeing you on the verge? Are you like is the detonator ticking? Are you about to blow up? Next time you come on the show, you gonna have security? Is that what we're saying?
I don't know. You know, I can't.
David will be your security.
You know, all I can do is speak.
Yo, I'm saying because I,
you know,
brother need new brakes. You know what I'm saying?
David will be your security.
You need me to like
it's
handle
cool.
somebody.
Yeah.
Like, yo, back up.
Yeah,
back up,
David
back
can
up.
Stiff arm like you
yeah.
and Malay.
No, sorry, man, he's busy.
Yeah.
All you ladies just need
to. You
no,
need to bag
it.
Up.
Back up.
I mean that's how it is. I mean, you know, when we did the show with London, you know, we rode in some Mercedes truck and there was a driver and, you know, I heard a whole bunch of unreleased music. He did some with Nicki Minaj,
get
some,
ready,
some
bro.
Other people.
Oh my
and
God.
Just,
get ready,
you know,
bro.
It was just, you know, we were just
you
in the back, you know, we were just vibing.
Ride, bro.
You know, I'm just have to, you know, I just have to
take
prepare
it all
myself
in,
because,
enjoy every second, have
you
fun.
Know, I just, you
keep
know,
doing what you're doing.
You know,
humble.
Yeah, I mean, always,
remember,
man. I mean, coming from, you know, just coming from Charlottesville, you know, it was, it's just a humbling experience because a lot of people don't, you know, really get out of here like they should. They get kind of trapped and they get comfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try to encourage people to, you know, step outside of that boundary and, you know, do something, you know, different, you know. Try some of that shrimp tempura, you know. Stop eating McDonald's every day. You know, you might like it.
Facts.
You know, so you might enjoy it.
Hear that, everybody? There is more to life than Charlottesville.
How
get out
that?
That, enjoy the world.
Yeah.
I mean,
thank you so much, Lance, for coming on the show. This
Lance,
has been awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
And we cannot wait to see you blow up.
All right.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you guys having me.
I know that boy. We know him.
That boy good.
Also, and you know, on my social media, you can follow me. You can check my music out. Everything is LINZPRAG. You know, that's everything. SoundCloud,
Lins
Facebook,
Frog.
Twitter,
also
Instagram. You know, YouTube. Yeah, that's where
phone.
I'm at.
I gotta follow him.
LINZ.
Where my phone?
PRAG.
You see how that rhymes?
LINZ. PRAG.
Oh my God. We're gonna be doing that
thank
all day.
Thank you so
now.
Much,
yeah,
brother,
man.
For coming
no,
on
no
to
No problem,
homegrown.
Man. I appreciate you guys for having me, man.
We
for
only
real.
Bring the most major acts, the future leaders of the world. Look, yo, he's gonna be working with Drake next year. And,
right?
Y'all are gonna be like, what?
Thank you so much.
All right,
yeah,
thank
no
you.
No problem.
And now, Leslie's weekly rant.
A few years ago, a scientist, and I use that term loosely, authored an article in Psychology Today that he said gave evidence that black women were less attractive than other women. His quote-unquote research data was later proven to be sketchy and racially biased, and the article was removed due to controversy. Yala Van Zant last year aired an entire episode talking to black men who won't date black women. I recently posted a video about this topic on my Facebook page from one of my favorite vloggers, whose hair and lipstick is always on point, and I'm so jealous. I mean, she's flawless every freaking day. But anyway, I digress. First, let me clear up a few things. One, black women are no more attractive or unattractive than any other ethnicity of women. Yes, on average, we have more hips, more breasts, more junk in the trunk than some women. Our lips are fuller, our noses are wider, and our shoulders a bit broader. And do you want to know why that is? Sit down, hunty, because I'm about to tell you. Because we've been carrying y'all asses since the dawn of time. Don't think so? The oldest relic of human ever found was a black woman. We was here from the beginning. We have been nursing and rearing children, keeping house and holding our men down from jump. So we needed a wider hip to set that baby on while we cooked a meal with one hand. We needed those breasts to serve the multitudes of hungry babies who with otherwise would have starved to death. We needed stronger, broader shoulders to support the weight of giving birth to the entire world. And we still haven't gotten any credit for it. You'd be upset too. Two, attractiveness is something so subjective. How could any scientific study about it be deemed anything but biased? I mean, there are men that people just swoon over who I can't stand to look at. Physical attraction isn't based solely on the features of a person, because the way you interpret those features, to be attractive or not, is based on your bias built through the years you have been alive. It's an amalgam of your experiences. So whether you realize it or not, everyone has a type. Some of them are just easier to see. Three, this one is really important. So I want all you beautiful black men to take a seat and prepare yourself for what you're about to hear. No, I'm serious. If you driving, pull over for a second. If you shaving, put the razor down, baby. I don't want you to hurt yourself. I'll wait. Who in the hell gives a good goddamn if you want to date me or not? Boo-boo, I got so many things going on in my life, I could care less if you have a problem with black women. Let me break this down for you. If it ain't you, it will be someone else, okay? But thank you for realizing that you couldn't handle this goddess over here and getting out of the way for the man who can. Four, black men, please just sit down. Let me talk to you for just a little second. Stop perpetrating the myth that black women are crazy, angry, uncontrollable beasts that you should avoid. All of us need to stop buying into the stereotypes that society has put upon us. Stop doing what the slave owners did for centuries by reducing us to bodies you can use for your pleasure and then demean with your next breath because you have chosen to see us as less than. Stop attributing aggressively sexual and masculine traits to us to make us feel less desirable. Just stop. What does this have to do with art? Everything. These attitudes are in our society, so they are in our art. We can change the narrative by changing the art. And with it, we can change the world. And that's the weekly rant.
All right. Thank you. Stay tuned for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Sean McCord. Guest is Claire McClicklin, talking about spinal muscular atrophy. This has been Homegrown. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Peace.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.